Gravitas Impact offers a global community of the world's top business coaches. We strive to empower our coaches and clients alike to achieve their extraordinary goals.
Hi, everyone. This is Keith Kopp, CEO of Gravitas Impact Premium Coaches.
Today on the podcast for CEOs worldwide of mid-market companies, we have guest Peter Ludwig. Peter is the author of The End of Procrastination, and you can find his information at procrastination.com. Peter, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, and happy to be here with you.
Well, as we get started, we always like to start our podcast with a provocative or a controversial statement of truth. Peter, what would you like to share with CEOs and leaders worldwide listening in?
Well, what I realize that there is a huge gap between what science knows and what people do in their lives, in their daily lives. And what I realized that this is even truth for CEOs, because there's a lot of science about how to motivate people, how to inspire the others, but there's a huge gap between what science knows and how our workspaces look like.
So in essence, what I hear you saying, leaders of companies and organizations have an opportunity to close the gap between what's happening in their cultures versus what science tells us could make them great. Is that true?
Right, right. For example, okay. There is a lot of research on the topic of purpose at work. And it seems that now there is a huge movement about happiness at work. But the recent science shows us that what is even more important than happiness at work is purpose at work. Because if we see purpose, then we are happy. So it's not about buying foosball tables into offices. It's more about inspire people to work on projects they really believe in, they see meaning in there. And what is very important is that, as we say, that fish stinks from the head, is to really be able to start this kind of change. And what it means is that if we want people to have strong purpose in their work, it's necessary for CEOs to see purpose in their work. And it's not about just serving stock markets. I think it's all about inspiration, and it's all about the ability to really move things forward in a society. So try to focus on not just money and growth, but try to focus on how to change the world a little bit. And the problem is that we live in the world that is full of low quality information, misinformation, fake news, not just in politics, but even in management, in personal development. And to really understand the science behind what is important, be evidence-based, be based in science, I think that it makes CEOs more competent.
So what we'll do is I'm going to come back to you and have you develop that argument, substantiate a little bit more, and then give some counsel on what to do with that a little bit later. But first, let me just, for everybody listening in, so who is Peter Ludwig? So as I mentioned earlier, author of The End of Procrastination, and that book is in 15 languages worldwide. He also has a bachelor's degree in information technology, a master's in law, and then a master's in computer graphics and multimedia. So Peter, in the heart of hearts, his depth is in research, data, and interest in models, but bringing that to the human condition and helping catalyze and facilitate change. Peter's based in Prague, where he's coming from to us today, but also lives in New York City and is working in North America as well as Europe, and then also Japan as his place of peace. So Peter, back to the challenge here, closing the gap between the cultures that exist to inspire people to do their best work and the science. Talk about that a little bit more, substantiate that for us.
Right. What I feel is that we need critical thinking, because we have a lot of challenges as a global citizens, not just climate change and or growth of populism globally, but even we are sometimes lost. We don't know what to trust. For example, there is hundreds, maybe thousands of books about personal development. There are hundreds, thousands of books about motivation. But sometimes those books are really disconnected with science. There's that gap that what science knows and what people do is really, really different. And what I'm trying is to transfer the research and be able to explain what science knows simply and help companies and people to really deploy those ideas into their work life. And my key field of interest is purpose at work, because it seems, and we have a lot of science about it, that if we have more purpose at work, we have less stress hormone cortisol. It means we have a much lower risk of cardiovascular diseases, even stroke. And with more purpose, we live longer, we have better health, better relationships. So the answer is to find purpose at work. And I think that CEOs, they should be leaders of this movement, because that's the key of leadership, to inspire the others, to have strong values that you really believe in, and to be able to live according to those values daily.
And so, Peter, we talked earlier, we did a webinar for Coaches Worldwide about some of the research and the data coming out of the comparison of purpose and life expectancy in Okinawa, in Japan proper, in the U.S. Could you summarize that for us? Fascinating
right.
research.
Yeah. Okinawa is a Japanese island, and what it seems is that they live approximately 10 years longer than we live in the U.S. and in the Western world. And 10 years of healthy and happy life. So what's the key? Yeah, well, what's the reason? They made a long-term study in Okinawa, and first they thought that it's all about food, it's all about exercise, but the outcome of this particular research seems a little bit different. And they found the reason, and they call it Ikigai. Ikigai is a Japanese word, and this word can be translated as a long life purpose. So basically, what they do in Okinawa is they don't retire. Even if they are 40, 80, 90 years old, they still have a purpose in their life. And it seems the more purpose you have, happier you are, and you live longer. And it's true, even if you are 40, 50, 60 years old, it's all the same. And Japanese, they describe the concept of Ikigai as a combination between four fields, four parts. First part of Ikigai is to uncover your strengths, to really focus on what you are good at. Someone is good with people, someone is good with data, someone is systematic, someone likes creativity. So to uncover your strengths is very important. And that's the first part of Ikigai. The second part of Ikigai is focusing on positive emotions, really do things that you enjoy to do. And we are all different. Someone likes playing tennis, someone likes playing hockey, basketball, and to really know what makes you happy, what kind of activities makes you happy. Is very important. Science calls this state of flow. You do something, time stops for you, and you feel happy in the present moment. So that's the second part of Ikigai, doing things that you are good at. And the third part of Ikigai is the part of purpose, to do things that world needs. And those are not just big things, like really to change the world, but those are even small things, like to help stranger or to perform a small act of kindness to your colleagues. For example, if you are doing teas, you can do tea for the others and so on. So focusing on the others seems that's the key for happiness, because we have a lot of data. If you are the most selfish guy and you want to be the most happy guy in the world, to happiness leads not to focus on yourself, but focus on the others. So that's the third part of Ikigai. Be able to do things that have some greater meaning, some purpose. And the last part of Ikigai is money, to do things that you can get paid for. But money is important, but after you have those three parts. So if you if you deploy your strengths, if you do things that you enjoy, if you see purpose in what you do, then money is a nice outcome of those three first concepts that I described before. So, and I really enjoy this Japanese concept because it's based in science, and it seems that if you find your ikigai, then you are able to live much longer and you have much more positive emotions. And if you are a CEO or if you are a manager, founder, I think that your ikigai can be to help the others to find their ikigai. For example, I have 35 employees in my little company. And what I think is that my greatest success in my life is that some colleagues are working for me for 12 years, and they really find their ikigai in my company. And I am really proud as a CEO and as a founder because my ikigai, my purpose is to help the others to find their purpose.
Well, Peter, just in summary then, so the ikigai, a Japanese concept, long life purpose, it connects exactly to fulfillment, but also physical longevity. And the four components are, so CEOs listening in, think of yourself right now, CEOs. And number one, what am I good at as a leader? Leader. Number two, what do I like to do? Number three, what does the world that I can access need? What does the world need? And then fourth, what can I get paid for? So Peter, here's a little bit of a challenge question. So that is thinking in terms of an individual like you or I or a CEO listening in. Can that also be extrapolated to an entire organization? Should a CEO be thinking about what is our organization good at? What do we like to do as a community, as an organization? What does the world need we could address as business people in our company? And what can we get paid well for? Does that also apply to the overall organization?
Exactly. And this will be a part of my new book, because I think that you can find ikigai in your personal level, and you can find ikigai in a whole company level. So I really believe this research can be applied even in big companies, big corporations worldwide, it can help their employees to really enjoy what they are doing. For example, I had a chance to cooperate with Novo Nordisk, that is a Danish company with 30,000 employees, and they are number one insulin producer in the world. And when I had a chance to have a discussion with their board members, we had a discussion that for them it's very easy, because they are producing insulin that is helping millions of people worldwide. But even if you are working in a different field, what is very important to not to just put some mission statements on walls, but to really believe in what you are doing. For example, I really believe that I'm helping the others to fight procrastination. And I really believe that at the end, my clients are much happier. They have better lives. And that's the reason, for example, why I moved to the US, because I feel that world really needs to use the science in daily life. And my life mission is to help more and more people. So if you have values and you are able to use those values daily, I think that this is core of leadership, because then the others can trust you. You are able to motivate the others, not just by extrinsic motivation, by goals, but you are inspire them with intrinsic motivation, with purpose at work.
And Peter, one last question on this, then I want to pivot a little bit to the personal health and development of CEOs and leaders, but the concept can also be applied to families, correct? So if I have my life partner in mind, or if we're someone listening in is raising a family, this also can extend to helping them find their long life purpose.
Right, because we have a data that in Western world, there is a growth of depression. And if you see research, why we have more and more depression, it seems that the reason is lack of purpose at work. If you are working with in big corporation and you are disconnected, you are working on projects and you don't see any meaning or any good outcomes of those projects, you are disconnected, you have a high risk of anxieties and even depression. So if you want to help your family members to have better lives, it's also about to help them to find their ikigai, to help them uncover their strengths, and to help them to focus on what is important, not just for themselves, but for society as a whole.
Great. So let's pivot now. So I'm thinking of the individual CEO leader listening in, and we talk about the concept of think weeks, getting time away, learning. But the CEO, as the saying goes, is often the loneliest place in the company. Very high stress, fast moving, high energy, and taking care of oneself is very important. Peter, share your annual rhythm on what you do to find peace, learn, and recharge.
Yeah, 6 years ago, I made a very important decision because I have my company, 13, 14 years. And 6 years ago, I was very tired, very with a low level of energy. And what I did was that I went alone to Japan for 4 weeks. And after those 4 weeks, I realized that I have like 3 times more energy than I had before. So I made a decision to go to Japan for 1 month every year. And I fulfilled that promise. So I was in Japan 6 times already. And it is like an investment. Like if you spend few weeks alone, then you have much more energy. So the months after I arrive from Japan, I am much more productive and I can focus on what is important. And I am able to do big changes in my life and in my company too, because I have much more courage. If you are tired, if you are exhausted, your level of courage and your level of willpower is very low. So to have a good place that you are able to restart yourself, it's a crucial idea. And I found that amazing place in Japan, in mountains near Nagano, that is a small Japanese city near like 2-3 hours from Tokyo. And what I realized is it is similar like with a cell phone battery. Like if you have an old battery and you are trying to recharge the battery, you are unable to recharge it because it's broken. Yeah. So sometimes you need to buy a new cell phone. You need to buy a new battery. And that's my trip to Japan. After that, I am able to rest again. I have much more, I have better dreams. My willpower is just like have a new one, like have a new cell phone with new battery.
Peter, thank you for sharing that. And the last thing I'd like to address here in our remaining 5 minutes or so is CEOs, leaders have a lot of information coming at them every day through technology, emails, messages, data, research. How do you personally manage what can be potentially an overwhelming amount of information and data and communication coming at you as a CEO yourself, as well as an author? How do you deal with that? Help our CEOs here.
Yeah. Well, I realized that we live in a world that is full of chaos, full of new emails, full of new messages in social media and so on. And what I realized that when I was writing my book, that sometimes we need to switch off all electronic devices and use pen and paper. And I love those old tools, because if you are offline and you spend 2-3 hours alone in a place that has no internet connection, you realize that your brain works much better than if you are working from open space and every 2 minutes you have a new email and every 5 minutes your colleague is coming to your office. So be able to get rid of technology is the only way how we can survive in this modern world. And to fight procrastination is also very crucial, because if we are overwhelmed, we are procrastinating. And I know that even CEOs are procrastinating a lot, because when I saw some data about procrastination, it seems that the biggest procrastinators are people that are very intelligent, very smart, and very creative. And the reason is that we are often very smart and very creative, even in coming up excuses in front of ourselves. So to fight procrastination is about not to coming up with excuses in front of ourselves, and be able to be alone and focus on only what is important, to have a focus on our purpose and our life missions.
And I want to affirm, everyone, too, connecting a couple of principles Peter just shared, is the concept of journaling. And in the last 2 years, I've begun to journal personally in my personal life and business life, early in the morning, late at night, for about 10 minutes. And what that allows me to do, it helps me connect with my emotions, put them on paper, as well as things that are unclear in my mind, I can put on paper and they become clear, and I sleep much better when I'm journaling. So thank you for sharing right. the power of the pen.
I do
the
same, and it is a great tool how to decrease the level of stress in your life, to just write down what is important, what are, for example, three things that you are grateful for. And this kind of journaling is really based in science. So it's very evidence-based. And sometimes there was a research that even this can decrease the risk of depression. People, if they are doing that for 3-4 weeks, they have a lower risk of cardiovascular diseases and so on. So this is just the best way how to improve our daily happiness.
So, Peter, I want to ask you a little bit about the human interest side of you. But first, for our listeners, it's Peter Ludwig, and Peter is at procrastination.com. You can also find his podcast called Deep Talks, D-E-E-P Talks, to listen to, where he goes into more detail in interviewing others. And you can reach out to Peter too and connect on LinkedIn or Instagram as his main social channels. So Peter, outside of your research, your thought leadership, and running a company, what are some things that are important to you that you love to do in life?
Well, last year was a very tough year. I moved to the US, I moved from Prague to New York, and I realized that New York is very challenging for me. So then I went to Japan for holidays, and now I am between those three cities, between Tokyo, between Prague, and between New York. And what I realized that I love to meet people. I love those discussions. That's why I'm doing my podcast, Deep Talks. Because somehow I feel energized by people that they are inspiring, that they have strong personal values, and they are able to act according to those values. So my current life is about traveling all around the globe and find people that they are able to share their stories with the others. And for example, in my last episode, I had a co-author of the book Factfulness, Ola Rosling, and he wrote an amazing book about critical thinking. And my long-term mission is to really teach people critical thinking, because we don't have just challenges like climate change and growth of populism, but we are in the world that is very polarized. There are a lot of fake news in all fields, and help people to think critically to increase their rationality is my long-term mission in this world.
Peter, thank you for joining us today. It's been a pleasure having you here on our podcast. And for CEOs and those listening in, this is Keith Kupp, CEO of Gravitas Impact Premium Coaches. We are a coaching organization worldwide that helps CEOs build great leadership teams, great personal abilities, and great companies based on purpose. So, Peter, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Keith. It was, again, a great discussion. And for CEOs, I wish you to have a better life without procrastination.
For more valuable content and actionable resources, visit www.gravitasimpact.com.